Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday, which celebrates the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss our Gospel from St. John and read and discuss the November Word of Life. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The musical ambassadors of the United States Army will entertain and inspire on Veterans Day, Tuesday, November 11th, in the Corpus Christi Cathedral, beginning at 7:30 p.m. Your Cathedral Concert Series will present the United States Army Concert Band and Soldiers Chorus in a tribute to our veterans, our military, and our nation. Spend this Veterans Day with the U.S. Army Concert Band and Soldiers Chorus. Call the Cathedral Concert Series for VIP memberships, for priority reserve seating, and more information. 888-7444. To learn more, visit ccseries.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very fine, Barbara. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We wish everybody who's listening also a beautiful Sunday. Good fall. November day.
Yeah. Fall is here, at least right. According to the calendar.
Yes. My favorite kind of time of year.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
Yeah.
Well, our gospel today is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Okay. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Since the Passover, the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold ox, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, they answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." They said to him, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, like several weeks ago when we celebrated the exaltation of the cross in September, the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, I don't recall celebrating the past couple years on a Sunday.
No, this one is always on the 9th. It's like Christmas. It never moves, except Christmas you celebrate it whatever day of the week it is. This one, we do celebrate it every year. You would only know that from daily Mass or reading the daily readings. But when it does arrive on a Sunday, it is celebrated. It takes precedent over the actual Sunday readings, which I believe today would be the 30th Sunday in ordinary time. So it takes precedent over that. And the reason, I guess you're going to ask me now, the reason for that, I'm just anticipating your look there.
Of course, why? Of course, I had to look up the word Lateran.
In the dictionary,
and you know, I found that it's
not
the,
there.
It wasn't there, so I had to Google it. But the site of the Cathedral Church of Rome and of a palace that was the former home of the Pope.
Right. Yeah, it's a place.
It's a place.
Not so much. You wouldn't find it probably in maybe in the encyclopedia, but not the dictionary.
Right.
Yeah, it's on, I guess it would be the southern part of Rome. And the Appian Way, kind of at the edge of where the forum is, mm-hmm. and all that old ancient site is. It was the first church built after the Edict of Milan, which gave Christianity its right to exist. And so it's very, very ancient, going back to the 4th century, and it was kind of the baptismal church for Rome. And it is today the cathedral of Rome. Many people, because the Pope lives in the Vatican and lives, most of the ceremonies are at St. Peter's Basilica, they think that that is the cathedral, but that's not the cathedral. St. John Lateran, St. John the Baptist in Lateran, which is the area, mm-hmm. Is the cathedral church for Rome. And so that's kind of the principal place for the diocese, you might say, of Rome. Mm-hmm. And remember, this Pope calls himself more the Bishop of Rome than he does Pope. I mean, he really has that at his heart. Mm-hmm. So this is his cathedral. Mm-hmm. And so we celebrate it as, it's called many times the mother of all churches for Christianity. So because it is the oldest, it goes back to the Constantine era, it's the principal church. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it is celebrated on a Sunday when it comes to a Sunday.
Well, now I have another reason to go back to Rome.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Always a reason to go to Rome.
Sure, sure.
Well, and of course, as we look at the readings, the first and second readings of this Sunday, they use the building, but it's focusing on a lot of larger issues. You know, Jesus is talking about the treatment of the building, and really he's talking about, you know, himself,
right,
and his church and his body.
Well, and I think one thing I would like to say to all our listeners, this gospel should not be used for justified anger.
Right.
I mean, there is, we all get angry, but to justify action in anger is a misunderstanding of what Jesus is meaning by all this. And having to understand what he is intending by this action. And I think we can best understand it if we move to the letters of St. Peter and St. Paul, which speak of the church as living stones. So certainly the stone rejected by the builder has become the cornerstone. And we also hear of a spiritual edifice or being built into living stones, that the churches are living stones. But at the same time, an actual building is extremely important to Christianity as a representation, you might say, of the living stones that we're all called to be. It's a place where we gather with our spiritual home, where we can come together and celebrate the Word of God, to listen to the Word of God, to have a place where God is worshiped, where God is adored, where Jesus is brought in his memorial sacrifice for us, the memorial of his love is celebrated for us. So we listen to his word, we celebrate his sacramental presence in the Eucharist, reminding us that in this building is first of all set aside and sacred for us, for sacred things. Unfortunately, today, many people have lost a sense of the sacred, that nothing is sacred. But just because we don't sense that doesn't mean it's not there. The Word of God is sacred. Jesus and his sacraments are sacred. And so to have a sacred place of stones, of physical stones, is a sign of the living stones that we're all called to be. And so we have to gather in order to recognize ourselves in our own sacred mission to bring the message of love and mercy to others as well by receiving that, first of all, ourselves. So the building as a sacred place is extremely important to human beings. If we just think about it again using our reasoning, there are many places that are sacred to us. There are places where you might say sacred things happened. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I already mentioned, I believe, last week that I was giving a retreat at a seminary in Missouri. And the morning of as the retreat began, an announcement was made to the students. And one of the professors was diagnosed with a very debilitating disease, someone that the students loved. Mm-hmm. And his superior got up and gave this announcement. And I think they had told me the night before just to prepare me. And then the person himself got up and spoke of how this is a test from God for him, for his family, for his community. But he was grateful to God. And, you know, and he went on. But to me, I'll never forget that chapel. I'll never forget that moment, those 90 young men there, students and a few other faculty members. It was like a moment of God, as if you're in front of something that is sacred. And I told the priest later, I said, it was a sacred moment for me to be there with you as you know, made this announcement to these students. That's a sacred place. You feel like there was an encounter with God there,
right,
with him and sharing that with us. And so if we think back in our own lives, there's many sacred places. What's more sacred than the place where Jesus, where we memorialize, where we recall the infinite love of God through the death and resurrection of the Lord, which is what we do every time we celebrate the sacred Mass. It's there that something has happened in our life, and it's there that we have it marked by a beautiful building. The sacredness of the building and the sacredness of the place represents the sacredness of the action, which in turn then calls us to holiness. And so all of this is kind of just talking to say how important church buildings are to us. For Christianity, for Christendom, St. John Lateran represents the mother of all of the churches that we have, from the smallest ones in Tivoli to larger ones here in the city. All of those kind of point to the Mother Church, the Cathedral of Rome, for us as a sacred place. And all of that gathering in that sacred place is then to set us apart to be sacred in the world today as living stones, as we take care of the building stones that are our churches. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important that we celebrate this on a Sunday, so all of us, at least once every 7 years, has that understanding of the place that we worship.
Mm-hmm. That was a beautiful explanation, Bishop, and I think, personally speaking, when I go into church, I'll think about it a little differently.
It's a sacred place.
It's a very sacred place.
For a sacred encounter,
right,
with a sacred moment to make us also holy.
And
people,
to not take it for granted.
Exactly. Well, you say that, the whole place of Syria and Lebanon, places that are being torn down just because of hatred. And,
right,
you know, our Holy Father has reminded us that no one can justify that kind of action through a religion, that we're not about hatred. No matter what faith there is, we're here to respect each other, to love each other, and to walk together as human beings and not disrespect each other's places of worship at all.
Right.
So let us pray for those who are suffering because of such violence.
Yes. Thank you. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will have the Word of Life for November. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
What is a pre-Cana seminar? It's a one-day marriage preparation seminar for engaged couples and couples married civilly for less than 1 year. It's designed to inform couples of the spiritual and practical aspects of a Catholic marriage and help couples focus on building a lifelong relationship. Diocese pre-Cana seminars qualify for the Together in Texas program to promote healthy marriages. Couples who complete certain premarital classes and workshops are exempt from the $60 state marriage license fee. County fees, however, do still apply. Pre-Cana seminars are scheduled each month through December 13th at St. Peter, Prince of Apostles Church, 3901 Violet Road in the Annaville area. For specific dates and more information, call the Diocese of Corpus Christi Family Life Office at 882-6191. To register online, visit diocesecc.org/precana.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. We had a lot to discuss the first Sunday of the month, so we are going to do the Word of Life for November for this Sunday. And it's, again, another beautiful passage for us to reflect on.
Right. It's from the Psalms. It's from the Psalm 36, verse 9. It's a simple phrase, and it's, "For with you is the fountain of life." This phrase from Scripture tells us something so important and vital that it can lead us to reconciliation and communion. First of all, it tells us that there is only one source of life, God. From Him, from His creative love, comes the universe, which provides a home for humankind. It is He who gives us life with all its gifts. The psalmist knows the harshness and the dryness of the desert, and knows what it means to find a spring of water with life that blossoms around it. Therefore, he could not find a more beautiful image to sing of creation, like a river flowing from the bosom of God. So then, a hymn of praise and thanksgiving should pour forth from our hearts. This is the first step to take, the first teaching to grasp from the words of this psalm. Give praise and thanks to God for His work, for the wonders of the cosmos, and for men and women fully alive, who are His glory and the only creatures who are able to say to Him, "For with you is the fountain of life." But the love of the Father went beyond pronouncing the word through which all things were created. He wanted His word Himself to take flesh. God, the only true God, became man in Jesus and brought on earth the source of life. The source of every good, of every being, of every happiness came to dwell among us so that He would be available to speak to us. "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." He filled all the time and space of our existence with Himself, and He wished to remain with us forever, so that we would recognize Him and love Him under the most varied guises. At times, we might think how beautiful it must have been to live during the times of Jesus. Well, His love invented a way to remain not in one small corner of Palestine, but to every part of the world. He made Himself present in the Eucharist, as He promised. We can draw from this source in order to nourish and renew our life. For with you is the fountain of life. Another source from which we can draw the living water of God's presence is our brothers and sisters. If we love every neighbor we meet, especially those in need, they are not so much benefited by us, but rather we are benefited by them because they give us God. In fact, by loving Jesus in our neighbors, as Jesus said, "For I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was in prison," we receive in return His love, His life, because He Himself, present in our brothers and sisters, is its source. Another overflowing fountain is God's presence within us. He always speaks to us. It's up to us to listen to His voice, which is that of our conscience. The more we make the effort to love God and our neighbor, the louder His voice becomes, to the point of drowning out all the others. And there is a privileged moment like no other, in which we can draw from His presence within us. It is when we pray and seek to go in depth in our direct relationship with Him who dwells in the depths of our soul. It is like a profound spring of water that never dries up, which is always at our disposal and which can quench our thirst in every moment. We only have to close the shutters of our soul for a moment and recollect ourselves in order to find this source of water, even in the midst of the driest desert. And then we will no longer feel that we are alone, but that there are two of us, him in me and I in him. And yet, thanks to his gift, we are one, like water and its source, like a flower and its seed. The words of this psalm remind us that God alone is the source of life, and therefore of full communion, peace, and joy. The more we drink from this fountain and live by this water, which is his word, the more we will grow closer to one another and live as brothers and sisters. Then the rest of this psalm will be fulfilled. In your light we see light, that light which all humanity is waiting for. Written by Kara Lubick.
Well, I love the way that she explains everything in the beginning and then in the very end tells us what it is that we need to do
right
in order to live out this word of life.
Sure.
Yeah. Going forward.
You know, the image of the fountain, the source, which is the source of life, was very strong in her. I mean, she used to oftentimes say, you know, that one of the sources of God's life is the word. Well, if you'd not, she used to use like a garden hose. If you don't connect the hose to the source, you're not going to have any. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you don't stay close to the word, meditate on the word, and live the word, then you're missing that source which God wants to give to all of us, or the source, as she said, of our brothers and sisters. So if you spend all your time trying to ignore people or avoid people or whatever it is, not reaching out, then we've disconnected the hose from one of the sources.
Right.
And so we don't have that source of God living in us. Or the same is true with prayer, and especially for us as Catholics, the Eucharist. I mean, it is the source and the summit of all of the faith, that it all comes there because it's the memorial of his infinite love. That he is there for us. And so if we're not there reconnecting the hose, I hate to put it in such banal terms,
but it's
the hose
such a good
to the
visual.
Source, then we dry up. Mm-hmm. We dry up. And again, as I mentioned, being in the Holy Land during September and going south of Jerusalem toward Jericho and that whole area to the Dead Sea, you really sense these psalms come alive because you know what the driest of land can look like. In any desert, whether it's in South Texas, or I'm sorry, in part of South Texas, but
right.
West Texas, or especially there in the Middle East, in the Holy Land, and other places, the dryness and any source of water is enough to quench the thirst at any given time. It's beautiful to drive and just, you know, in the bus and just to see an oasis, you know, in the middle of a desert, but you see a little bit of green with some palm trees, date trees, some vegetation, and people gathered around it because there's the source. And that image that the psalmist gives us, for with you is the fountain of life, the source of life. It's a tremendous image for us to have if we avoid the fountains, the sources of God's life, that have been revealed to us, as she lines out here, the Eucharist, his word, our brothers and sisters, whatever you do the least, you've done to me, within us through prayer, etc. If we're not connected with these sources regularly, then we dry up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wonder why. I remember that, I'm sure many people have heard it before, but it struck me when I first heard it years ago when I was a young priest. But if God feels far away, guess who moved? You know,
mm-hmm.
Who's left the source, who's
right.
not connected to the source. And that's not in any way condemnatory because the source is always flowing. It's always there. All we have to do is reconnect.
Right.
And so it's always an invitation as we have this program. It's an invitation to reconnect. If we're feeling lonely, if we're feeling alone, if we're feeling separated, forgotten, neglected, whatever it is, the sources are there. And I would invite anybody who's perhaps in that state of soul today to reconnect today, come back, just to be present, to the sources of God in our life today, especially in the Word and in the Eucharist, and in the community of God's people, to be there and receive.
And as I used to hear people say, I'm afraid I'm going to walk into church and all the walls are going to fall down around me.
That's
doesn't
fine.
Happen.
They could be rebuilt.
That's right. But it doesn't happen.
You know, these are our own images that
That's
we
right.
build up around ourselves.
That's so true. But it's an excuse.
Yeah, as the bishop of the diocese today, I say, well, we'll rebuild them. Don't worry about that.
That's
come on.
Right. Come on in.
We're looking for you.
Right. And this is so true, as you mentioned, that God's present within us, but it's up to us to listen to his voice, which is that of our conscience. And we've talked
right.
about this before.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, I can just say my own experience just briefly, because we're running out of time, but there are days that, you know, I have down days too. And, you know, the place where I go is the chapel that I have. As a bishop, you can have a chapel. And I go there and, you know, sometimes with a book, sometimes not. But just to sit and be quiet, be in his presence, receive his presence. And it's all of a sudden you start talking mm-hmm. To your best friend. Mm-hmm. And things, the source of life returns. Life returns from the source, I should say, put it that way. So the word for this month, and I invite all of us to keep it in mind throughout the month, with you is the fountain of life.
Psalm 36. All right, Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who from living and chosen stones prepare an eternal dwelling for your majesty, increase in your church the spirit of grace you have bestowed, so that by new growth your faithful people may build up the heavenly Jerusalem. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.